Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry.
Oh. I'm gonna kick some ass, gonna try to build up my podcast. Oh. I'm preaching, looking to help fuck up, cause I'm fucking awesome. I swear your broke mind's closed.
Stop, there we go. Love Blog Talk. Love that. I just hit stop and it didn't stop. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Jake Pentland Show. Start off every show bitching about Blog Talk, and then we get into it. lots to talk about. We've got Romy on in about 10 minutes. I do want to catch up with my two lovely co-hosts about the week and tell my stories. But first things first, there is an elephant in the room, right, Susie?
There always is.
I'm just drop it off on you. I have to be very careful how I talk about this. So don't paint me a corner, either one of you. But go ahead, bring it up.
Okay, this has been the highlight of my week, which is that a member of the Cult of Jake, who we know and love, Jamie Panda, has decided to imprint her body permanently with a Cult of Jake tattoo and portrait. And I, for one, am not over it. I would
and
like
not
to know
over
your
it.
Thoughts.
What do you mean, not over it?
I knew that she was threatening to do this, but yet when I saw the photographic evidence, I was still shocked because, number one, tattoos are permanent no matter what they are. I mean, it's scandalous, but it's your face, and you're just Jake. I don't get it. I mean, why does she love you so much? No offense.
Well, the question is, why don't you love me as much, and why don't you have a Jake tattoo? That's the real question. You know, everyone asked me how I felt about it. I'm deeply flattered, like obviously flattered. I did try and talk her out of it. At least I could say that I tried to talk her out of it. Like there's enough words that exist now forever of me saying don't do it. But, oh, my God, I so wanted her to do it. And I never really thought she was going to do it. And I can't even explain you know, what that means and how flattering that is for somebody to tattoo you on them. I mean, how do you wrap your head around that?
Well, it's I will say, it's a very accurate depiction.
I think so, too. He did give me more hair than I actually have on the top of my head, which I thought, if you're going to mess something up, that one's okay with me. There's like a little
Jen,
patch.
What do you think about the fact that your name is also on the tattoo? Because it says, Cult of Jake, ... and Jen.
I was very surprised. She did that actually because she didn't call us in or she had trouble calling in, and that is what she did to repay us, tattooed my name on her body with Jake's face. And I felt really bad, to be honest. Like, I was like, oh, shit, don't put my name on you. I feel bad. But, it, like, Jake, it is pretty cool, I guess. But I feel bad that she felt she needed to do that for us to forgive her. I forgave her that minute. But she's obviously the number one fan.
I just
I'm
don't want to
upset.
Have to be there when the regret kicks in.
You're assuming there's regret. First of all, I'm devilishly handsome and incredibly charming. So it's not like it's Carrot Top on her leg, first of all. It's my gorgeous face. And I'll only get older and balder and fatter. So that's me. You know, I'm pretty good looking in that picture. But I am upset that Jamie did put Jen's name in that tattoo. I think it cheapens it. But let me ask you guys. Let me ask you, Susie. Like, do you think it's absurd, right? You think it's crazy that she did that?
I do. And I think it's crazy to get anybody's picture on your body. Not just you, but especially you.
I think
you,
if she had well, okay, picture Susie and I doing, like, a 69-type position and then put, like,
that
the Cult
I could
of
get
Jake.
On board with.
Yeah,
I think
that
would be. But Jake's face, I mean, there's things I'd want to do to that that aren't pretty. And I don't mean sex, so.
I just feel like, I don't know, is she single?
Yes.
Yeah.
See, this is not good for her.
Like,
oh, this
you're
is not going to help her love life.
No, well, yeah, she could just say he's a man god, like he calls himself. And
I think the crazy thing about
it
is,
what did your wife,
like,
say, Jake? I want to know what she thought of a tattoo
she,
of
well, she
your
doesn't
face
think it's
on
real.
Someone's body.
Because Because first,
really?
You know, I didn't tell her, and then everyone's like, what does your wife say? And then I panic. I'm like, oh, fuck, I have to tell my wife that a woman tattooed me on it. I didn't know what to do, so I handled it pretty well. I went right to Alicia, and I was like, hey, check this out. And I showed her the picture, and she thinks it's Photoshopped. She's convinced it's Photoshopped. So, she, you know, that's she hasn't really let it sink in, thank God. So we're
I'll send her or you the video. Did I have a video of her actually?
Oh,
no,
yeah,
I didn't. I showed her that. She still thinks it's fake. But even if
she's
it's fake,
in denial.
But I do want to say, like, to Jamie, you know, it's immensely flattering. But, yeah, there is this part of, like, you know, tattooing someone who's established and awesome is already going to get you sort of, you know, people are going to kind of turn their nose up at you. Like, oh, you got that picture of Hendrix or Mao or whatever, and everyone's going to kind of judge it. But then you get some douchebag like myself who's, you know, basically a nobody. I wonder more. I feel more sorry for Jamie. Like, people say, who's that? And then when you explain it to some podcaster on Blog Talk, if that makes it look bad. So now I feel a lot more pressure. Like, I really do have to make this show work and take off and build it because someone's got a tattoo on my face. It actually kind of steps up the pressure.
That's
yeah, well, maybe
true.
God
you know what?
Does
I
really
like
work.
That.
Yeah, maybe God really does work all things together for good because this could be like the thing that propels you into extreme blogging success.
I would think so because you can't let someone tattoo your face and they go, you know what, I'm not, because like today I was so tired and for a second I was like, I'm going to play a rerun. And then I'm like, no, Jamie tattooed me, I can't play a rerun. But anyway, Jamie, I love
you.
You
cannot quit radio ever now that someone tattooed your face on their body.
I think that's true. I do feel like she's kind of locked me in. But anyway, let's just say we love Jamie, and I can't even fathom how much I appreciate it. And really, the question shouldn't be, why would someone tattoo me on their face? The real question is, why hasn't everybody done that? Let's be real. The amount of work I've done here, the amount of good I've put into the universe, the amount of people I've helped, there should be multiple tattoos. So let's call out to the cult. Don't just stop here. All right, Jen's got to go scream, but I do want to ask Jen about her week. I know she had a tough week, so while she's taking that call, Susie, let me ask you, did I miss anything for your week? Did you have a good week?
Well, I had an exciting week because I started teaching a class at the University of Pittsburgh, but it's not just any class. It's Religion in Modern America, but with only senior citizens.
Oh, my God.
So one guy fell already. And you can imagine I'm not exactly their style. So I don't know. I don't think they appreciated my irreverence.
Oh, God, I would pay to be in that class. Well, that's crazy.
I think I'm going to start videoing them. So then if some hilarious stuff happens, I'll have it ready for you.
Old people just fart all the time, too, I've noticed. Every time I visit old people, they just let it go all the time, everywhere they are.
I look forward to getting to that age, though, where I don't give a crap, and I just
yeah,
let it fly.
Yeah, that's the beauty of old age. All right, Jen, I see Romy's on. Do you want me to ask you about your week now?
No, should we talk about it? We have a couple minutes.
Yeah, let's
I mean, you know, we've just gotten a lot of shit. We get a lot of shit every week, but I was just having some sort of dilemma over the last couple weeks, but especially this week where I was behind your back quitting to everybody.
Yeah, I heard. I heard you were trying to get off this show, and I just assumed because I was away on my anniversary and you didn't have me to talk to, and you were jealous because I was with my wife and you were cutting.
No, that does cause problems. I'm codependent with you. But no, I have been having trouble. I missed you too. I've been having trouble filtering, and I wasn't sure what you were expecting out of me, so I've been filtering more because sometimes you want us to a little bit just to not upset people. We get a lot of negative feedback if we say what we think.
Right.
You know, if we say we want someone to die for their crimes or we want murderers to fight each other in a gladiator-type setting, we get judged for that, and we are dead serious. And, you know, so I thought, well, if this upsets people, I don't want them to lose listeners. So I've just had a dilemma, and I came to a conclusion from Eli sending me a good quote from Howard Stern is, fuck it. If you don't like us for our opinions, then that's your choice. But we really have strong opinions. They all come from a good place. And if people can't see that, it's not my problem. I really want to be able to express our true opinions without tiptoeing around everyone's feelings. I'm not calling you a devil. I'm calling a pedophile a devil.
Right. No, I hear you, and I thought about it. We talked a little yesterday. And it's always a fine line because, you know, this isn't your traditional radio show or podcast where we're just going to come up and talk about news and pop culture. I mean, we really get into some heavy shit here. We're talking about mental health and dysfunction from childhood. I mean, this show is really heavy. And what happens when you do that is that, and it's just something I've just come to grips with, is that you really do sort of upset people, whether it's intentional or non-intentional. The reactions you and I get are obviously going to be worse off than someone who goes on and says, you know, Miley Cyrus is an idiot. I mean, we're talking about things people bury deep in their closets, and we bring it out of people all the time. That's what we do. And so I always have sort of noticed any reaction or negative reaction that you and I do bring out in people tends to be a lot harsher than other people deal with, but that's by design. And I don't want to filter either. I don't want to make people kill themselves either. And sometimes
and
I feel
can't.
Like...
you of all people should know we can't make someone kill themselves. They already wanted to kill themselves.
Yeah, that's true. It would be good for the show if somebody did kill themselves, now I think about it. Just
well, on air.
Yeah, no, it'd have to be on air. Be responsible. Well, all right. Well, you know what? There was a couple times where you and I had these back talks about when we go on this Saturday, we're going to let the filter off, and then we would be ourselves. And then we would lose listeners and followers almost instantly. So there, I don't know if we should really be ourselves. We'll have to think about it. But let's switch gears.
I filter too much in my regular life. I just can't do it. So take me as I am.
Yeah, you don't like filtering, I understand. See, this is your mental health now.
No, I filter all my life, every day, throughout the day, around children, around all these damn PTA moms, Mormons, everybody. They surround me. So when I come here, I get to be completely me, and my brain opens up, and I talk.
All right, so you're just going to be your charming self from now on.
Yeah, well, I'm sweet, too.
I'm so excited to see Jen unfiltered. Oh, if people knew what goes on in the head of yours, I'm excited.
It won't be that unfiltered. Not our phone calls unfiltered, by the way.
Yeah, no, we will be in jail, let alone unfiltered. Well, let's switch gears and interview Romy. We have some news to get to after our interview with Romy, Jen, that I'm sure people will see the real Jen.
Oh, yeah.
We got some crazy news. But let's Romy was nice enough to call in. So, Romy, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Hello. Thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, of course. I'm excited. First of all, Romy, let me introduce you to Jen, my bestie and co-host.
Hello.
Hi, Romy. How are you?
She sounds like Daria.
I'm very good.
A little more.
I sound like Daria?
No, Jen does. Jen's like, hey, everybody.
I love it.
I'll introduce you to Susie, who's like the pretty, perky blonde with a really, really dark sort of past that comes out.
Wonderful.
Hello. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Well, so what's going on? Because, you know, everyone knows you obviously from the Real L World. L Word.
Yes.
Which
L-word,
was
yeah.
a reality show on Showtime.
Yes.
And it's done, right? You guys are done.
Yeah, it's done. We did I did 3 seasons of it, and then it recently we finished season 3, and it's not getting picked up for another one. I mean, they may be documenting more real lives in different areas, not just Los Angeles. And I think it might be a little bit more of a documentary than it was like a TV show.
And it
so
was
I'm not sure.
Do you know why it didn't get picked? Well, I was saying it's on cable, so
I mean,
the ratings aren't. Were the ratings not doing well? Is that why it didn't get picked up, or what? What was
I don't really know. I mean, it could have been 1,000 reasons. I mean, they could have ran out of how much they could push all of our lives if it was interesting enough, if it was giving them enough, and then at the last season when all of us like got married and couples were together and, you know, some of the drama they wanted wasn't there, they might have just decided to go another route. So I don't know that the show is ending, but the show that had all of us together isn't coming back.
Gotcha. So they might recast it. I do know.
Yeah,
they might
be recasting it.
And you, what are you going to do now that you're not on the show? What do you do for a living?
I'm just going to kill myself. No.
Awesome. On this show, please do it on the show today.
Yeah, I'm just going to kill myself. You know, my life is over. No, it's amazing. I mean, I worked in fashion way before I got caught up in that damn show. So I'm still styling right now for a company called Moods in Norway and working in men's fashion. And then I do a radio show, like a podcast on Fridays with Rose Garcia from The Real L Word. We have a little kind of gossip, fun, stupid little show that we do every Friday called The Romy and Rose Show. And that's it. And I'm married and I'm just living my real life.
Well, let's go tell
doing
me about
my
your
thing.
Podcast on Friday. It's like a pop culture show. I looked it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Where
we do it, you
get?
Know, it's online. It's at www.latalklive, and it's 4 o'clock, and it's every Friday. And Rose and I just have complete opposite opinions and just about everything. We're best friends. We're family, and she's the biggest lesbian I've ever met. I'm the most confused girl I've ever met. So when you bring our opinions of things together, it tends to just be, I guess, comedy, and we decided to just have fun with it and make people laugh and get to let people see a different side of us, that we're not just about having sex and fighting. We have opinions and we laugh, and you know, we have a life. So it's been a really fun experience. It's been a lot of fun.
You on the L world, God, I can't even say it, L word.
It's fine.
Jeez, that's hard to say. You were a bit of a controversial, I don't want to say character, but, you know, you were yourself.
I would say character. I mean, there's parts of it. Yeah, I mean, they would switch out the cast every season, but keep me and, like, a few others. And, I mean, it's because I was causing all kinds of problems. I'm not stupid why they kept me on. But a lot of it, you know, I was very open about being bipolar. I was very open about my dad being, he passed away or whatever. And then I was very open about my sexuality. I had a lot of sex, and I was really going through just what sex I wanted to be with. And so obviously the producers were really on top of what was going on.
Yeah, you're like a
time.
Dream come true for reality.
For producers, yeah. It seemed like that. They were like, she is a mess. We are never leaving her. This is gold. Please get her as messed up as possible and make sure there's a camera on her. So it was interesting to go through all of that with, you know, a team of people filming you. And the first year I was just did not know how it worked. And the second year I sort of got it. By the third year I could have gotten an Oscar. I was like, I'm just going to act this it out. This is all bullshit anyway.
That's the thing.
I was on that?
Go ahead, Susie. Sorry.
I just was curious what about it felt like bullshitty to you.
It's reality show.
I mean, it's reality show, and I don't know. People don't really get it. I mean, yes, is it real? Is it real footage? Yes. But once you start getting into a few seasons and they start figuring out that you're capable of redoing scenes or, you know, recreating situations, like, and then once it hits the editing room, your story becomes whatever they want. So once you get familiar with that, you just play with it. You want good television, let's do good television. You want my real life, I'll give it to you. I wish you told it in a true story, but that's like, it's never going to happen, so
it's one
you
of
just
the things,
start to
you
figure
know,
it out.
I've been on a reality show, and I've produced a reality show, and at the same time.
You know
time.
All about it, yeah.
Yeah, and I talk about it a lot on the show. You know, people tend to be suspicious that reality shows are fake. Like, I think everybody sort of feels it when they watch it. They can't really identify why they feel that.
Right.
But every reality show person I've interviewed on here or just talked to, it's like, we're all pretty upfront about it. It's complete bullshit.
Yeah.
We'll say it in the first sentence. Because it is.
It is. I mean, like, the things are real. Like, what you saw was real, and it was who I am, and they were true facts about who I am. It's just the way it was told and when it was told and the timing. You know how it is. And ultimately, it's television, and everybody has a story to tell. And the person that they're filming is the last person who has the opinion in that. So you
go
along with the ride, and, you know, you hope they all enjoy it, and if they hate you, they hate you.
And that's
you
part of
that a long time ago.
You have to, when you say third season, I know that feeling you're talking about. This is going to be very inside. Most people are probably going to tune out right now, but there is this feeling where you kind of produce your own character. You start to see what's getting you in more scenes, what's causing more. You want the show to do well because the better these shows do, the third, fourth season, you can ask for more money because you're locked in. So it behooves you to push the story. And then there's this weird sort of and you say you're bipolar on top of it, so I bet that was a blast.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of having
you could imagine my brain through those 3 years. I wanted to kill myself and everyone around me.
Tell me what that's like where you're going, you know, you're bipolar, and then you're playing yourself, and you're probably...
Well, that's exactly what it is, what you just said, is you're playing yourself, and that's a weird thing to do in life. Like, it's one thing to live your life and be you, but when you're playing you, and you know you're playing you, and you're playing it to the producer, and you're playing it to the camera, and at the same time, like you said, third season, you're aware of how things work, and you also don't want them in your house with you 24/7, and if you don't give them the shot...
Right.
You don't lose them. And it got to the point where I did want some privacy. I did want my own life, and I didn't want everything I didn't want them in my room all the time. So I was like, let me just give you what you're looking for. And what you're looking for is, I'm crazy, I have sex, I can't decide who I want to be with. So let's just shoot those scenes, and then please get out of my house, because you're not going to use any of this. And so you're just wasting my life. So we figured it out. We got it down on timing, and I knew what they wanted with me, and I knew why I was on the show. And I just had to make it work, and they know that my brain is constantly changing. So one day I'm this, and by the next day I could just decide that I'm an entirely different person, so they didn't like to leave me alone a lot.
Of course not.
Just in case something happened when they weren't there, because I was the one character that, you know, at midnight I've decided that I'm breaking up with somebody and I'm getting married the next day and cameras weren't there. And they knew I would do it whether the cameras were there or not.
Right, so they're probably always within a mile or two, like staking out your plan.
Yeah, just hanging outside of bushes sometimes. I'm like, all right, cool.
Well, tell me this. You say that you, I mean, I don't know too much about your personal life, but
yeah.
It sounds to me, just in talking to you now, that there was kind of a transition, or you were basically figuring things out while you were on this show at the same time.
Yeah, my life is always in transition. Yeah, I'm always growing. I'm always searching. I'm always seeking. I always need some answers. And I don't, am I great for reality in that sense? Yes. For myself, it was really difficult because there were some really hard times with my sobriety, with my sexuality, with my family, with my financial situation that was really happening, you know, and the cameras are there. And so you're going through it all and they're there and it's hard. And then you have to deal with the judgment of, you know, everyone who's watching it attacking you for being who you are and going through it. And I just didn't know how to be anything else. So
did you find that helped or hurt you?
It made me stronger than I could have ever been. Because I don't care what people think. And after, you know, I got married to my husband on the last season and a lot of my work stopped and a lot of my bookings and everything just came to an end. And I had a lot of bad backlash about being a fake lesbian and, you know, all this stuff. And it hurt. It definitely hurt. But it also was like, you know what? I don't care. It's my life. It just teaches you to get up in the morning and just kind of brush it off, because it was like I couldn't avoid the hate, and I also didn't do anything wrong.
Well, let me ask you about
that. I think it made it stronger.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's obviously good. I've gotten into some battles with this is a long word now, but the LGBTQT, is it now?
Yes. I don't know. ABCDEFG, I don't care. It's everything.
Whatever it is, I've had, even on this small podcast, I've had many, many run-ins with pretty much every letter now. I think I've made the gamut.
Amazing.
I get a pin or something. But one thing I did notice is that, you know, we can get right into this. This is one of the first questions I did want to ask you. You're accused of being a fake lesbian, and you said work stopped for you. So what happened? Tell me about
that. In a reality show, eventually you have to stop doing the job you're doing when you get on it, because you're filming so much and your schedule becomes hectic and you have to find a way then to, while you're filming a show, work. So I started a jewelry line and I was doing appearances and really being, you know, an advocate within the community and, you know, flying to clubs and doing that whole thing. And when the season ended and I was with a guy and I left my girlfriend for a guy, emails of bookings had come to an end. They didn't want to book me. They didn't want me a part of the prize or any of the LGBT stuff. And then all of my sales, you know, from my jewelry just stopped because my audience was gone.
I had to refocus.
Yeah, blacklisted. I had to refocus. I mean, I showed up to Pride one year and they had people writing like, why is she there? And I'm like, you don't have to be gay, first of all, to be at Gay Pride. You can still be an advocate and support gay rights, whether you're gay or not gay. The whole thing is just, the community let me down so bad. It really did, because it was just ridiculous to see the kind of hate. Even the lesbian, like, magazines were writing up about me, and there was no support.
I found there that,
felt
I,
betrayed
no
one. By you.
What's
I'm friends
that?
With, go ahead, Susie.
They felt betrayed by you? They felt like you were a traitor?
Well, yeah, and I'm a crazy kind of person, so sometimes it rubs people the wrong way, and my actions and who I'm with tend to always rub everyone some way, so they were very vocal about the fact that they didn't like me.
Now, I was going to say, I'm friends with the pregnant woman. I don't know if you remember her from Oprah or him.
Oh, my gosh. It's the pregnant man, first of all.
Good call. That doesn't have the same ring to it, the pregnant lady. That I thought
Yeah.
Well, the pregnant man, Thomas, was a woman who went through partial.
I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, you remember. Okay. Well, you know, he's a full man now. He's got the little thing hanging off him. The croissant dick, I call it.
He has a penis, yeah, okay.
And he went through a hell of a time because the T in the LGBTQWYZ, they didn't accept him because he claimed to be transgender but still had babies. So for them, instead of saying, oh, he's partial or he's still part of the group, they blacklisted him.
It's totally ridiculous. The whole thing is so dumb. It's like you're gay, you're straight, you can go backwards, you can be a girl, you can be a guy, you can be with a woman. I mean, who cares? I thought the whole point was just that we love one another, we're not judging one another. Some of you might be confused. Who cares? Some of
I found these groups that are LGBTQ type groups, even like with African Americans too. I've never seen so much discrimination within an anti-discrimination group.
It's this weird club, and I understand that we want to come together and be in unity and have this group and, you know, fight for our rights, and I'm right there with you. I was raised with two women. I've got a ton of lesbians in my family. I've been with women half my life and men. Like, I'm right there with you, but I also don't want to be locked into a group where we're feeling like we're empowered and better than people if we're deemed the right kind of gay. Like,
right. There's
no right kind of any straight, gay, bi, transgender. You are who you are, and we're all changing. Like, who knows? I might want to be a man next year. You never know, and who cares? Like,
I absolutely agree, and I found it very suspicious when they basically blacklisted Thomas, and more so we did a show on the kid that killed himself, Tyler Clementi, and that supposedly was outed by his roommate, when it turns out that was all kind of fake. And there was this witch hunt campaign against Robbie, the guy that only got 30 days in jail. And I remember covering that story, and the outrage within the LGBTQ, and what they were doing they weren't just being, you know, upset. They were outright blacklisting.
And they had
this sort of witch hunt mentality where they would label you as something. Like, you were, I've been called a transphobe, for instance, I've been called every word that you could possibly be called. And they will do work stoppages. There was a restaurant up in San Francisco, a bakery, that didn't want to make a cake for a gay wedding, and they shut them out of business. And I mean, I get standing for your rights, and I get it, but there's this weird thing where it's like, I've said it on the show, I put it this way. There's a point when you do feel victimized, where you do organize, and you have to be very careful that you don't either stay the victim or become the victimizer, and it looks as if they've become the victimizer. You would agree?
Yeah, no, I agree, and I mean, I love what they do on the positive note, you know, and I love that they're there, and there's so much I support, and at the same time, for me personally, I just didn't want to be a part of a clique. Like, this is my life. This is people's lives. And I think it becomes like a group and like a gang, you know what I mean? Like, you're in or you're out, or you're the leader. And that is not how life works. Like, maybe how high school works, but, like, this whole thing was just kind of an eye-opener to me, and I still will continue to be, you know, an advocate and fight for rights for everybody, whoever you are, but I don't need to be marching with a group of people that are only marching with me because I'm doing it the way they like it.
Right. It seems to go against what they believe.
And they're hurting people, like you've seen. Like, they're actually hurting people that need them the most.
Yeah, I know Thomas was very upset, and he reached out to Chaz Bono, who's like the head of the transsexual mafia, I believe.
Yeah.
And Chaz would not.
He has a big role.
Yeah, he does. He's got a couple big roles. He would not support Thomas. He wouldn't. And me and Jen went after him on Twitter a couple times, Chaz, and he just wouldn't do it. And we found out that's why, because he didn't consider Thomas a full. It's insane. We could talk about this all day. So my next question.
I could talk about it forever. It's definitely something I learned in my life, and I'm glad I did. And obviously there's other people that can see it, so that's awesome. But at the end of the day, everyone's crazy.
That is for sure. I can tell you that. We should add a new letter to the LGBTQ. I don't know what to call it. Just myself. It should just be my human.
Yeah, just who you are should be in that.
H for human.
Human. If you're a human, You're in the group.
I agree, and we're all for rights and equality, and that's beautiful. Now, let me ask you straight out, before my LGBTQ listeners that are very upset with you, are you a lesbian?
Yes.
Are you? What are you? How do you identify?
I am Romy, and I am... The only thing that I can label myself is probably bipolar because it's been proven in the test results that I've had. But everything else, I am married to a man, so right now I'm not anything but a married woman. If I was
and you
married
like the deep
and,
dickin.
What's that?
You like the deep dickin.
Yeah, I like my husband, I like my man, and I love women, and I've put enough time in that I don't think I'm get to take the lesbian out of me. She's there, but I have a husband, and right now I am a married woman. Like, I don't think it matters who I'm sleeping with. I'm off the market.
You're off the market completely, so there's no threesomes on the
I'm not,
horizon
no,
plan.
There's no threesomes. There's no, you know, girls showing up at the house. Like, we're just a normal couple.
Does he know this, and did he know this before he married you?
he would never let a girl into our relationship.
Yeah,
he's not having that. He's not that kind of guy. I mean, you never know years down the road, but at this point, no.
Oh, well, that's good. That's cute that you're happily married. Is there another theory that the people that don't like you would say that you pretended to be gay to get on the show? Is that one of the things
they said?
Say?
I pretended to be gay. And, I mean, I don't know how you pretend to eat what I did for years. I mean, it wasn't an act. And not to mention I have a list of girlfriends that were in my life before I was on this damn show, so... If you did your research, you would know that it wasn't during the show. And the reason I got on the show was because I was doing that in the first place. So here's my
favorite question to ask people that have, mm-hmm. that have dated both men and women.
Yes.
I argue, and I don't think I'm alone here, that women are crazy.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You prefer, and we say deep digging, we'll joke around, but tell me the truth. Dating a man, being with men, is so much easier, yes?
Not for me.
Why not?
Not for me. Women are a lot easier.
What's that?
I'm sorry.
How
so? I'm sorry. Because I get, like, women get each other. I mean, even though it's crazy, and maybe this is just me and I'm the wrong person to ask, I live for that. So there's an energy that comes and you guys understand each other. And then with a guy, there's so much I don't understand and so much they don't understand that it completely throws me off. Because we don't have the same ideas. We don't think the same. We're different. We're made and function differently. So it's difficult for me to read or understand.
I can
dissect her, and if I must mess with her, and she can mess with me because we completely understand the other person.
Well, I'll give you a tip about men. I like to tell my women friends.
yes.
Just use your words as they're defined, and just use English. It's a really powerful tool, the English language.
Yes.
And when we say something, we mean it.
Uh-huh.
So I think you're used to, like you say, it's easier to be with women because you're used to going in that head spiral with emotions.
Yes,
all tangled.
The crazy
you know
part.
You're like 10 steps ahead of what emotional game. Guys, we don't do that. We're just sort of like, hey, can you just come home and we'll watch TV? That's what we mean. So it's actually
yeah,
easier.
Yeah, no. I'm learning that. You know, Rose, who's the biggest lesbian, like I said, on Earth, who does a show with me, her advice is just to give head for the rest of my life and we'll have a happy marriage. So.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was going
to
say.
Yeah, I was like, you know what, that seems to work a lot better than my English words, so.
we're pretty simple creatures. I do have a caller. I'm going to take this call because we love Brody, and it says in the note that he's upset with me, so I want to put Brody. Brody, you're on the air.
Okay, my blood is fucking boiling right now. And Jen, earlier you said that I haven't seen so much discrimination come from an anti-discrimination group, and you were referring to the LGBT community. And I think Jake said some things that were, you know, along similar lines as that. And something I just wanted to know from both of you is, who is the LGBT, whatever the rest of the letters are, community? Because I fall under that group, but I don't agree with every fucking thing one of these people say. And it's just like saying, you know, Jake, because you're a heterosexual man, that every heterosexual man that says something, you know, your beliefs are the same as theirs. So it's just so frustrating.
Well, let me clear this up real quick with you, buddy. When I say the LGBTQ, I don't think they're a lobby necessarily, but there is a group. There is a group that meets, and they do have...
Yeah, but it is. Hard when you're saying, when you say that, because it implies that you're talking about everybody.
Okay, well, let me clarify.
in most.
When
of
I talk
them,
about the LGBTQ, I'm talking about those. I don't, Romy. What are? Do they have like elected
think,
officials there?
I would think it's like the tabloids. It's the magazines, the Advocate. It's the gay centers. It's the people that are actively speaking and oh god, I'm getting ran over. Actually,
oh my god, are you
speaking,
driving right now?
No. I'm just walking right now. But I think it's not everybody, and that's the thing, is not everybody's categorized into anything. But the people that are claiming that, putting that, tagging them in that, and writing about people and speaking as the voice of the community are, not necessarily representing everybody that's in the community.
Well, I agree with you on that, and I just think there should be a distinction made between, you know, who we're talking about, because a lot of people that I know that are considered, you know, a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender person don't agree with what the, you know, media puts
out.
Yeah,
I consider myself one of them, and I don't agree. I mean, I'm in that group. I'm a part of it, you know, but
exactly.
I disagree with it. It doesn't mean I'm out of it. I still consider myself a part of that community. I do fit into being a human and a sexuality in there, but in no perfect world is there a leader of something that's out there speaking for everybody involved.
Exactly.
Like,
well,
it just doesn't happen.
Cult of Jake, I do that. But yes, your point's made.
Except for you, of course.
Okay,
well, Brody, I don't mean all lesbians and gays, quote unquote. I assumed that was clear. I apologize for not being clear.
No, it's just in you. It's not just you. You hear it all the time. People like lumping everybody together, but it's just like not every single person's going to have the same beliefs. Because I think what happened to her is total bullshit, and I think, you know, the people involved in that are fucking crazy. But I just think it's hard when it sounds like you're being lumped together with, you know, fucking retards.
No, that's a good point. And actually with Thomas, too, with the pregnant man, he would probably be included by a lot of transgender people. Not probably, he is included by a lot of transgender people. But the community as a whole, the transgender of the T and the LGBTQABC, they support him in his trials. They didn't, you know, and he deserved that type of support because he could be making, you know, cases for the next transgender man that wants to have a baby. You know, he was trying to get rights for them on his own. He didn't have their support.
He was trying
to
get a divorce and couldn't get a divorce in his state because they wouldn't recognize his marriage. Therefore, they wouldn't grant him a divorce. And him and his wife had a really nasty split up where there was life insurance money. They had a legal marriage in Hawaii. And because he couldn't get a divorce, she basically had claimed to half of everything. So he was in court in Arizona trying to, it's still an LGBTQ issue. Even divorce.
They
like
should have been. They should have been picketing. They should be picketing for him to help, you know,
there.
Make these.
Here's who it is, Brody. It's Chaz. He's like the Don, like in Godfather. He's got a table. He's got his consigliere, and they meet. I don't know where they meet. They probably meet like, I don't know, outside wherever the Lilith Fair played, and they have their little mafia group, and they control all LGBTQ communications. Those are the people I'm upset with.
But I just, maybe these crazy assholes should have a more specific name that doesn't lump people that don't agree with them into it. I think they should have a name that's more exclusive to them, and then we can call.
I think everybody doesn't need a name, though. That's the problem, is giving everybody names. It's like, who cares anymore? Like, you either love and accept people or you don't, but once we start putting people in labels and names is when you start having all this problem.
Exactly, I agree with you.
Like, there shouldn't be. You're a human. You love someone. There you go. Have a good day. You don't need a name.
I think that's beautiful.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm off to go squeeze my stress ball.
Is that what you call it? I love you, Brody. Thank you.
Thanks, Brody. Yeah.
I love Brody. I love Brody's call. He did make a good point. I am working on my clarity.
Yeah, he did.
He did. I hope you didn't think I was saying that, Romy, that it was all gay. No,
not at all. Not at all. I think it's an interesting topic.
Thank you.
I hear that frequently, though, from the even transgendered folks who don't even want to be associated with the LGB side of it because they feel like, hey, we it's not about sexuality. We're a separate thing altogether. And once they transition, what, I'm no different than any other woman or man. So there, I hear that a lot, though, and that's not an organizational or institutional thing. It's just people.
They're all crazy.
Yeah,
I think
this is just all labels. It's just all names. It just gets too confusing, and not all people are going to fit under one.
Yeah.
And Romy, I got another question for you. This will make you uncomfortable, but you say you've actually been diagnosed with bipolar disorder?
Yeah, I was diagnosed when I was 13 years old.
13 years. I don't want to make this a whole. I am very anti-medication.
No, that's fine.
I'll spare you.
Okay.
Were you medicated?
I was medicated. I was medicated as soon as I was diagnosed. I was medicated until I was 18. And then when I was 18, I stopped taking meds.
And you do not currently take meds?
I do not take meds. I haven't taken them since I was 18.
Well, that's good news. And what are you doing to treat it? Are you in counseling?
I've been in therapy. Showtime had me in mandatory therapy because I was, you know, I was the one that didn't do so well on the psych exam. So,
right.
Shocking. So I had some free therapy, and that was fun, and I've been in and out of it my whole life, and it's cool. It's good. It's me telling myself what I already know, but it's awesome, and what's that?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just, you know what? I pray. I am spiritual, and I pray, and I try to stay away from, you know, alcohol and drugs or anything that bring out anything else in me, and I just take it one day at a time, and as I've gotten older, it's gotten easier, and I'm really aware of when I'm manic or when I'm depressed, and I've kind of gotten used to my moods and watching them go up and down, you know?
I have to, I'll try not to press you, but I this is sort of my wheelhouse, and I have a theory. This is what always makes people mad at me and why, you know, only one person has tattooed me, unfortunately. I have a theory that bipolar disorder, which, you know, the doctors will claim is chemical, I have a theory that it's completely environmental. And
it could be.
Would you say your childhood upbringing, would you say it was normal so that we could just say it's not nurture and it's totally chemical?
Okay. It could absolutely be my upbringing. It could absolutely be. They took me in and did a test. They said they tested my levels and I was missing a certain salt. So there was a salt missing that we had to replace to keep me balanced. Who knows? I've had a really insane life and a crazy childhood, and I'm grateful for it. And definitely could have been, you know, due to circumstances, who knows? I went crazy during one of the craziest times in my childhood, so.
What, I mean, do you want to talk about it or no? I don't want to push you, but.
Oh, no, I grew up with two moms, and, you know, I have two special needs brothers, and my father was, like, a cholo from downtown, and he was kind of a gangster, and it was just a very interesting, and at the time when you had two moms and you were going to school, it wasn't as out, and it wasn't as normal, and then with my brothers, and then I was going through my own kind of mental journey and was a bit neglected through it. So I really don't know if it was because of the home and the craziness that was happening or if I just really am bipolar, you know?
Missing a soul. I mean, it would make sense if your father's not around and you say he's a cholo, so I imagine he was probably, you know, not the nice
He was
person.
Around. He was, no, he was actually the best person. He was my everything.
Okay.
He was, we had a very, very weird relationship, a very close relationship, and I understood him, and he passed away of cancer 5 years ago, but he was there the whole time. So I had the two moms, and my dad was in the picture. It wasn't like he was gone. He didn't really necessarily understand my mom and her new wife, but he was still my father.
And you had as much time with him as you did with your moms?
Well, my mom's still here with me today, so we're obviously a lot closer, but I was with him just as much as my mom, yeah, growing up.
And I did a show, one of my favorite shows that's gotten me probably in the most trouble, because I'm sure you know who my mother is by now. I'm sure someone told me.
Yeah, I figured, I got that. Yeah, someone told me.
Well, you know, my uncle is gay, and he's got a partner, and my aunt is gay, and she's got a partner. They're both been in these relationships for 30 years. They love everyone, blah, blah, blah. And my aunt has two girls, and it's two girls with two girls. And I thought this was just a casual observation. I had said on the show that I felt the ideal situation for a child was to have a mom and dad. Now, I didn't say I was against gay marriage or gay parenting. I just said, this is the ideal. Let's start from here and work down. This would be best for kids because a girl with a mother and father would learn the roles and respect both. And I got fired by my mom, actually. Luckily, I talked myself back in. But it was ugly. I'm not kidding. My mom didn't talk to me for 4 months.
I've made
upset.
Comments like that before, and they come from a place where I get where you're saying it, and I've been completely ripped apart through them. And it's not that I'm against any of it because I was raised that way, but there's definitely, whether you want to admit it or not, things that get confusing in roles when you are seeing different roles growing up. And my relationship with men was difficult because my strongest relationships I saw was two women.
Right.
So
do you think that had anything
maybe,
to do with sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you never know. Like, it could all be, like, I was born this way, or it could have been, like, that's what I, that's what I saw. That's a relationship that I experienced. My parents were women, and that's the energy I've had in my life, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows, and who cares?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, it ultimately doesn't matter. You get love, you're going to grow up an adult. You're going to have to figure out your life for the rest, but you're not a circus freak or a test tube baby. I don't mean
totally.
To
totally, and there's worse things to go through, you know? There's, you hear about some of these stories and people in their childhoods. I'm like, oh, if the worst I had to, you know, deal with was some confusion with what sex I was supposed to be with, it's not that bad.
No, it's definitely not. I just...
You know?
I just think it's like, it's just important for, you know, you seem... open enough to be honest with yourself, good and bad, and you're open to all sorts of possibilities. And that's just something I don't see, and this is going to get me murdered, but I don't see it a lot when I've talked to most people, especially in the homosexual community. They seem to be very defensive about it, and they assume you're negating their life, which is not what I'm doing.
Yeah, and I think I am very honest, and I'm very open, and I've been this way my whole life, and I think that it wasn't necessarily most appropriate for me to be somebody that was speaking on behalf of a community or being a representative on a show, because I'm not going to be what they want me to be. I'm not going to say the things they want me to say. So it worked against me, you know, and I was just honest with my feelings.
Yeah, that gets you in trouble, let me tell you. Don't do that.
It does. It does. It sure does. And I don't know how to bullshit. So, you know, that's just not the right career for me. So.
Well, I think you're amazing. I do have one last horribly uncomfortable question and I'll move on. But
yes.
Do you, now that you're married to a man, are you guys thinking about children?
You know what? If I had a better security of what my life is going to be like and, you know, we were a little bit more stable in a lot of areas, sure, I would have kids. I would love to have kids, but I'm just not there yet, and he's younger, and I am such a mental case where I'm constantly changing. I just want to make sure I'm in the right place before I do that to somebody else. So.
Well, I want to
I may have them, I may
you.
Not.
I appreciate this. I thought this was a very candid interview, and you seem to have your head on your shoulders more than most people I've talked to lately. I mean that.
Oh,
so you don't seem crazy to me.
Thank you so much for having me on. No, I appreciate that. It is what it is, but I appreciate you guys even wanting to ask me anything. So.
Of course, and you're welcome to join the Cult of Jake, where most people here are bipolar or screwed up in some way. That's
awesome.
Kind of what we do.
It's like the X-Men. I found my people.
You know what I equate it to is it's one flew over the cuckoo's nest. You know, like when
awesome.
He comes in and he's like, "You guys aren't crazy. I really don't think you're crazy. I don't. I imagine if I had a similar upbringing to you, I'm going to be real with you for a second. I would be as bipolar as fuck. I would be just have many issues with not just sexuality and men and women, just in general. Trust me, I wouldn't
in life,
know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. So whenever people come in and they start saying it's salt missing, I get really angry because it's like we can't ignore who we are and where we come from. And as long as we're honest with it, we can grow.
Yes, I agree, 100%.
All right.
I do.
You have a
place.
You have to get
me,
a tattoo. It's a good tattoo. Okay. Thank
I'll
you,
send you a picture. Thank you, guys.
That was awesome.
Bye.
Thanks, Romy.
She was awesome.
She was.
Good. I like her.
God, why can't all gays be like her? Jeez. Seriously.
It's because she's not really gay.
She should represent all the LGBTQ, because she's one of the most reasonable ones I've talked to. Susie, I know you have to go soon, yeah?
I have 12 minutes.
12 minutes. We can do a lot in 12 minutes. I can do a lot in 12 minutes.
He can do three times in 12 minutes.
well,
I did find
math,
a good story. I know Jen has a good story, too.
Yeah, let's get into okay. Let's do some news,
what
shall we?
No, what do you want to do?
News segment. I'm playing the music. News.
Oh.
There we go. Let's do news. I'll record one this week. Did
you
guys have any more questions for Romy? Did I miss anything?
No, I thought it was good.
Okay, go ahead. What do you got, Jen? Who's been raped and murdered this week?
Well, lots of rapes going on, if that's what we're going to call it. It says, this is a little bit long, but it has to be, so I apologize, but pay
attention. That's what she said. Okay.
all too familiar rape story. Girl willingly goes to a home filled with all teenage boys and is underage drinking until intoxicated in an unsupervised home. The also drunk boys claim the girl initiated sex with them, and they all oblige separately. Girl wakes the next morning hungover and with no memories of the night before until photos are circulating. Now she claims rape.
Oh, my God.
Even
Come on, buddy.
I'm sorry,
I'm done. Even though she was in a functioning blackout state, only remembering slight details, none of which were intercourse, she couldn't remember any sex, this story, this exact story was covered on Dr. Phil, and the mother of an alleged rapist, a teenage boy, made an excellent point. If her son had three times as much alcohol and the girl initiated the sex, never said no, why isn't the girl being accused of rape? What happened to the days of, oh my fuck, what did I do last night? I can't believe I got that drunk. It really seems like nowadays there's no line of consent. The line is regret. If the girl regrets having sex with four boys because she's so drunk she can't think straight, she can claim rape and not seem so easy. Instead of accepting the fact she made poor choices as well as the boys. Who really is to blame in these situations? How does a drunk boy know that when a drunk girl grabs his dick, she's going to mean no the next day? Teenagers will rebel, but not one parent knew or will own up to knowing that four hormonal boys and one hormonal girl spent the night alone in a home drunk. Shouldn't both the boys and girl be responsible for having drunken sex? Dr. Phil was chastised to the point of deleting a tweet he made before his show, but it's a tweet that is so relevant and people are obviously afraid to confront it. If a girl, here's his tweet, if a girl is drunk, is it okay to have sex with her? Now, the first thing to go when drinking is reason. At what point do we expect a drunk teenage boy to turn down sex from a drunk teenage girl? To me, the only answers here are black and white, but impossible to expect. No drinking and sex, or you could be called a rapist the next day. This goes for adults as well. Remember the Dubai case? A married woman claimed rape after getting drunk at a bar with a coworker and having been, she says, raped later. And if we dare question that woman's choices, if we dare question her choices or behavior or these teenage girls, we are accused of blaming the victim. Whereas in actuality, we are empowering victims to be responsible and in control of their mind and body at all times.
Wow, Jen, you really are taking the filter off. Bravo. All right, so you go first because you're a woman and I'm sure you have an opinion on this.
Well, I don't think it's so simple. Obviously, it's complicated, and there isn't a moment where, before that moment, it's the same reason why it's difficult to ascertain whether or not one should drive after they have something to drink, because you're allowed to have something to drink, but then there's a moment when you become legally not allowed.
Right.
So it's complicated, but I do think that because of the mechanics of sex, that the onus is on the man to be sure of consent.
I didn't hear
that. So how does he understand if a girl's grabbing him and saying, I want to have sex with you, that really the next day she's going to mean, I didn't know what I was thinking, I was drunk.
Yeah, that happens to me every time someone has sex with me.
Your wife.
Yeah. No, but I mean, the point here that I think Jen's making, Susie, is that a woman gets drunk and she gets raped or claims rape or whatnot. She's not held to a standard saying, well, you were in a position where you were not able to make decisions because you were inebriated. Where a man who's also drunk and does the raping or is accused of it, everyone's like, well, he was drunk, he should know better. And it just does seem like, I think Jen's saying there is a double standard. I don't want to speak for you, Jen, but that's kind of what I'm picking up on, yeah?
Well, definitely, and I have boys, so it really does scare me. And I'll be on, more involved with my children that they're not spending the night at a house without any supervision and bottles of vodka. And that's part of the responsibility there, too, is the parents. But I don't feel like the blame should be all on the boys. And then I get called contributing to rape culture for saying
that.
I mean, they are.
Well, that's because you're inconsistent. Last week when we talked about rape, you talked about how it's the only crime where the woman is immediately blamed. And people say, well, she shouldn't have been dressed like that. She shouldn't have been at that party, blah, blah, blah.
Right, I'm trying to think, what I'm trying to think.
I thought you just told me.
No, and I agree. It is one where we instantly, but I think that's when it's a true rape. You know what I mean? And when I say true rape, I am talking like that horrible judge. But I'm saying
legitimate
where you really, where you're sober, you are doing regular things in life, driving your car, getting out of the store, someone grabs you and rapes you. I'm not talking about when you are a girl and you put yourself in a vulnerable position. I do put blame on that girl for going to a party of all boys, drinking to the point of not knowing. She said she was upset one boy didn't like her, so she got drunk. You know, I mean, it's a different situation, I guess, than a 14-year-old having sex with a teacher to compare it to a 14-year-old having sex with a 14-year-old, and now it's rape because, honestly, because the next day or the next week they were sending pictures around the school, which also, I mean, is disgusting. Like, I really don't see my boys being in that position, but neither did this boy. Like, his parents,
it's like
he's you know,
like, hero or villain.
Right, and almost the biggest villains are the parents. You know, how did they get a house for themselves? How did they get alcohol? You know, 14-year-olds can't go buy vodka. So I really think it's just that situation. But I think it could be a huge problem. You know, before it's called date rape, and now it's going to be, I was so drunk, I didn't know what he's doing, and he had sex with me. But she was awake, like, and she even says that. She doesn't even remember them having sex with her. She'd wake up and someone was getting off of her, or she said she came to or whatever. I think she's blacked out. She was conscious the whole time, according to them.
Well,
she doesn't remember any sex.
If you drive a car, you said there's a point where you can't drive where it's illegal, so there is a cutoff. Should there be like a blood alcohol, blow thing where you blow and get your BOC tested where you should not go to a party with teenage boys, like a .08?
That
and then, in that case, if you are blowing over a .08, at that point you're basically, you have a VUI, which is having a vagina under intoxication. I mean, seriously though, I know we sound rape culture-y, but it's true. Like when you say the onus is on the men, I agree. A man that gets drunk, you know, is gonna make mistakes. But if a woman's sober and got her wits about her, the man's not. I mean, unless he beats her up, I guess I just figured that one out. He could still rape her. But then we're talking legit rape. But that's actual rape. Okay, here I got it. It's only rape if she's not drunk. If she's drunk, it's not rape. What do you think about that, Susie? That would solve all the problems.
Wait, say that again.
We'll make a law that if the woman is drunk at a party and, like, blowing a bunch of dudes as she drinks, that she can't claim rape afterwards. Would you agree with that?
No, because when you're drunk, you can say no. It's just that this girl didn't say no, right?
Well, she was...
No,
there
was one point she was a little hesitant and said, let's go back to the party. And she went back to the party, but, then she took another guy downstairs. And so according to them, and even to her with one of them, she took them into this alone room. So, that it's really hard. Teenage boy to turn that down, you know, and... Yeah, I have someone in the chat room saying, well, the boys know at this point four people having sex with her is wrong. How come the boys have to know it's wrong and the girl doesn't? How come?
That's the question.
Right.
That's what I want to know.
Question.
How come they have to know it's wrong? I understand both should know it's wrong, but it ends up only, the guilt ends up only on the boys. I think it should be both parties. You know, how the mother made a good point. How come it wasn't her raping my son if she took his hand to go into a room and started grabbing him? And he
was
way
more drunk.
Well,
that's why I mentioned the mechanics of sex, because it's not like there is a receiver, you know? And so it's not equal in that way.
It's very hard to
physically.
Yeah.
Right.
Or so I've heard. But just, Jen does, okay, when we're bouncing around here, so let's stick to one topic here, because this is such a complex issue here. The issue is, why are teenage boys held responsible and teenage girls aren't, when all of them are fucking idiots, all of them are too drunk, all of them are in a stupid situation, all of them have crazy hormones, all of them are crazy hormonal and horny and stupid, but at the next day when everyone sobers up, it's the guys that are going to go on trial, never the girl. And it just seems
I think it's social media. I think it's because now the news can spread around and there's pictures, and before it used to be, like I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. What a slut I am. You know, like, I can't believe I drank so much that I'm fucking these guys, and I didn't care.
Yeah, we've all been
there. Now it's like, where's the responsibility that she has? Like, she let herself get so drunk that she couldn't think right. That's how
it's Steubenville.
Like, it's Steubenville, and they're young, and, it's a hard lesson to learn, but I think, I've had plenty of friends, that did things they regret when they're that drunk and they aren't thinking right. And I think now it's an...
She should dust herself off and just do the walk of shame. Like, shit, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Like every other girl. Yeah, I'm with
you. I mean, I think it's disgusting that four boys did that. I do. I really think it's just, like, for this fact, it's like, I don't know, like, you guys masturbating together. It's so, like, it's kind of weird to all have sex with the same person. But what were you going to say, Susie? Do we know what?
Well, how do we know for sure that these guys were, all four guys were just as drunk as she was? And don't you silly guys have trouble getting it up when they're that drunk?
Yeah, I do.
Not my husband, damn it. I've tried to drunk him down.
But that's why, like, Steubenville, I mean, we all know no one had to get it up in Steubenville. You just had to be able to, you know, speak sign language, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just saying, it doesn't always have to be your penis.
Yeah, there's nothing we know for fact. I just know it's becoming a common story that the, and I'm not saying they're lies. You know, I think there will be cases, like there's a girl who actually killed herself several months after she had the same situation happen, but she was throwing up out a window while they were having sex with her. It was a little different. She wasn't, like, grabbing their dicks. Like, I think that's the difference, like, where boys do know, like, you know when someone's barfing and out of it or passed out. Like, I don't think that she's responding. I mean, I've had blackouts where I'm responding. I don't remember what the hell happened. You know, that things could happen that you really are going to have to just regret and learn from.
Yeah, kids, don't get blackout drunk because you might get raped. I mean, that's the message here, right?
Or you might be called a rapist. If you get so drunk... And you do someone that's so drunk, the next day they can say you raped me because I didn't want to have sex with you, even though I acted like I wanted to.
Well, we'll talk more about
that. Yeah, regret doesn't equal rape.
You have to go, right, Susie?
I do.
Okay, well, we love you. We'll continue the rape hashtag rape culture conversation after you go. But we love you. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye, friends. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Love you, Susie. Bye.
Yeah, this is a tough issue to talk. So here's the thing. There's a problem in this country, as I talk about every week, that there is an absence or lack of anybody wanting to take responsibility for anything, whether they put themselves in a bad situation, whether their father was a cholo and they were raised by two lesbos. There's always this part of us that just doesn't want to say, this life that I'm facing here, these decisions I'm making right now, these are fully conscious decisions I'm making, and I am confused, and I am not at the point where I can make a reasonable decision. Nobody can really say that. So what they do is they know that deep down. They know I'm being a fucking idiot here, or I'm acting crazy, or I'm doing all this. And then they'll say, well, the next go-to is, oh, it's chemical. I'm missing salt. Or in the case like this girl, the rape victim, she'll just say, oh, I was taken advantage of, and completely ignore the acts that she was directly conscious of that led her to that point. And then,
and
because
she was
the world is
taken
so
advantage
crazy,
of, right?
What's that?
She was.
No, she was definitely taken advantage of, and you know, I don't know if she was raped or not. I wasn't there, but it's just, what's weird is, that's a very, I just want to finish this psychological point, that's a very child brain thing to be where you can't accept responsibility. Like, for instance, if something me to Jake Pentland, if I'm in a situation in my life that is not a good situation, my first response is to backtrack and see what decisions I made that got me there. And then I will retroactively try and fix those decisions or correct those mistakes that I made. And this is why I'm unusual, I'm finding out, the more I talk to people. Everybody else is looking for, who can I put the onus on and who can I blame? And when you take that out, when you take that fact that that's a very child brain thing to do, like when you bust your kids, Jen, doing something, they'll start lying. They'll never go, yeah, I shouldn't have hit him with the sword. They'll say, he pushed it, and they'll start doing that lying thing. Well, that's what all of us do now in this country. It's getting worse and worse. The entire establishment, the way it's set down to the laws and even the courts and even the 24-hour news cycle and even the medication we're all on, like everything is sort of melding around that. We are basically creating this universe around us that tells us nothing is our fault. And when you and I say, hey, don't get blackout drunk and start whacking off dudes saying you want to get fucked and then keep drinking because you might get raped, you and I guarantee you, Jen, when you go to Twitter after this, you and I will get bashed for this. And all we're saying is that girl would never have been raped if she exercised a little fucking caution and took responsibility for her vagina. And whether she was raped or not, it's terrible. We're not saying rape is okay. We're saying it won't happen. if you take responsibility for your actions. I have never been blackout drunk in a party where there were dudes around or girls. And I'll tell you, I went to a lot of parties in high school. I saw one guy pass out. We all drew dicks on his face and peed on him. And at that moment, I said, it's true. I will never get black. That's my thought. I'm never going to do this. So when I go to a party and we're all hanging out, I'll stop after three or four drinks. And I'll say, oh, that's great. And people will try and get me to drink. No, thank you. I don't want to get peed on. And I take responsibility for that. And I just am getting more and more scared as the weeks pass and the shows pass and we talk about different situations on this show. The more and more I see the reactions that you and I deal with, the more and more I'm terrified that even talking about the crazy notion of taking responsibility makes you and I absurd to these people. And it's terrifying. That's all. That's
and it's
point.
Not like I want this girl to feel like a whore. Like, I
no.
just, it's more that you've learned a horrible lesson, like, to never be around teenage boys and be shithoused, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's not a safe setting. I know as an adult now I would never go to a home full of drunk men by myself. Like, it's sadly, it's not a safe situation.
Because you'll try
but,
and rape
you know,
everybody.
I will rape all those men right there. But it's just scary. It's scary for both sides. It's scary having sons that could be influenced sexually. They're so horny, like teenagers, period. The girl, too. Anyone that thinks girls aren't horny at 14, 16 years old are crazy. Like, she wanted male attention, or she would not have gone to a house by herself full of males. Does that mean she deserved to have four people having sex with her? No, that's disgusting. They shouldn't have done that. But I think when she, you know, according to them, because she blacked out, she doesn't deny or admit, when she said, I want to have more, they went and had more. Like, I don't know. It's
well,
not.
Like I told Romy, you know, men and women, you know, are very different. When you say, I want to have sex with you, I want more of your penis, what we hear is, I want to have sex with you and I want more of your penis. We don't hear
exactly.
You know, because,
right.
Like I said, we use the English language. So be very careful when you're in a situation what you say. There's just a real world out there, people. I want everyone here to listen. Turn your little computers up. There is a real world here, okay? Bad shit happens. People do unspeakable acts. That's the reality. Now, you can go into your little fantasy land, and you can pretend like we're all protected, and the laws are going to protect you, and hearts and minds and bullshit. But at the end of the day, it's bullshit. People will do unspeakable things. So you have to be vigilant in your own life. You have to not be in situations where you can get hurt to the best of your ability. And that's not rape culture, and that's not blaming the victim. That is the positive fucking message that our kids are not hearing anymore. Nobody is telling these kids, hey, be very careful what you do and who you surround yourself with. I'll tell you this. If I had a daughter that was 14 that needed male attention to that point, where she's, you know, basically jacking off four dudes at a time, drinking Bacardi, if I could, I would send that as her dad. I would like to think I would. If I saw my girl needing that kind of male attention, my first thought was, what fucking failure and mistake have I done as her father? Because when a girl's looking for male attention, she's looking for it from her father. And I bet
right.
If you trace this girl back, you'll find the same shit like we do every week when me and Jen win every goddamn debate because we say it stems from your childhood. I guarantee you her father's a douche nugget. Because a 14-year-old girl is horny, but a 14-year-old girl doesn't need a fucking circle jerk with four dudes. That's not normal. So,
right.
There you go. Fuck everybody. Who? What's next? Oh,
we
Carly's
to
on the line.
Themselves.
I just we got to take
oh,
this
yeah,
call.
Oh, yeah,
Carly
has some shit to talk, she said.
Oh, let's hear it, Carly. How are you, doll?
Hi. How did I see
Where's you? My tattoo, by the way? You should be getting a tattoo.
Of all people,
I told
Carly
you I'm never going to get a tattoo.
Well, hurry up and get it. But okay, so what's up, Carly? How can we help you?
Well, I wanted to wait to are you guys going to a new segment? Because I don't want to interrupt that.
No, that's fine.
Well, Carly, can I ask you a question really quick? If you got really drunk and you started sucking a guy's dick and he had sex with you, would you say he raped you the next day if you couldn't remember?
I don't know. Like, I all remember going to a bar and talking to a guy, so I was trying to assume something happened, but I don't know if I'll say if it's rape at that point.
What do you consider rape, Carly? That's a better question, I think.
That story I told you about? that'll be kind of my thing, I guess.
Which story? Because you guys talk a lot of stuff.
That story about me when I was a kid, that story.
I was not in the chat that day. Was this the one with the carrot?
No!
This is not the carrot?
I emailed you about it, the trailer.
Oh, yeah, what is that? I don't remember. You guys talk about shit in the chat that I don't go to. I don't go in that chat. You guys scare me. What
that
happened?
That was a different guy. It was a whole different thing. That wasn't right.
Oh, okay. And were you drunk?
Yes.
See? All right. Okay, let me ask you this. If something did happen, if you were raped or molested in some way, would you accept responsibility, or would you go after the guy? Like, would you say, I probably shouldn't have been in a trailer? Were you in a trailer drunk? Jesus Christ, what is it, Springer?
No,
would you have said,
not trailer drunk. We're talking about two different stories.
Oh. Well, just answer the question. Would you take responsibility if you were in a situation and you were inebriated?
Yes, I would.
Okay. That's why you're a cult member, Carly. Thank you.
I know.
Right, we love you. Anything else?
Yeah, she called a bitch.
Oh, what do you want to bitch
about? Yeah, I wanted to bitch about two people who think they're cult members and they're not.
Oh, let's go.
Okay, one is Webb Weaver, whatever the hell his name is.
Webb Weaver?
Yeah. Okay, because he's an asshole. Like, I'm always nice to the asshole. I'm always, nice to everyone. And I don't really talk to him and everything. And he was running into a conversation I was having with everyone. And I said, you finally started to make sense. There you go. And he was like, well, you should understand what I'm saying if you're not a third grade reader or something like that. I just thought that was funny. Why would I be in a third grade reader? Because I don't respond to his dumb tweets.
Well, let me tell you, because we have one more news cover story, which actually I think is linked to Dan a little bit. But, I love Dan.
Well, I do have one more person after this, but go ahead.
Eli had to mute himself because he was sighing so loud. Did you hear that, Jen?
Yeah.
You're making Eli mad, Carly. I'm putting him back on. Eli, are you upset at Carly?
I'm not upset with her personally. I just don't understand a word she's fucking saying, and it's driving me nuts.
Why does that make
sorry,
you?
Eli. What happened to atonement? Jeez, Eli.
Yeah,
you walked out of the
bastard.
Temple.
Well,
you need to go back.
I think I'm a lot more irritated now because I'm fasting and I haven't had breakfast or lunch, so I'm really irritable.
Oh, this
I'm
is gonna be good.
I'm going to have salmon rice. I can't wait. Mm.
I'm so excited. How long do you have to fast for?
Till 6:30, so I'm kind of like
shaking. He should fast for every show.
I'm shaking
oh,
my
God,
leg,
this is awesome.
Scratching my head, and sweating, and I don't know. I was also thinking about Mike Tyson. I was getting upset because I was thinking about Mike Tyson and how he was invited up to that woman's hotel room. And as I was thinking while you were talking, Jake, I was thinking, from an outsider's perspective, knowing Mike Tyson's a celebrity and knowing him to be really pushy and physical with women as it is, prior to the incident, do you hold the female at fault before the actual rape took place? It's a hard question to ask, but I feel like in this discussion it's legitimate considering it was a hotel room that she invited him to, and what is Mike Tyson out of all people supposed to think?
Yeah, I mean, okay, well, let's go with that. First of all, I want to say thank you, Carly. We're going to move on to these stories. I'm sorry, Eli, you should apologize to Carly. That was mean.
Yeah, no, she's irritating me. Just, I don't care.
Jeez.
Carly, do you have anything to say to Eli?
Yeah, tell him. Jeez.
Anyway, Jay, go ahead.
You muted her.
I muted her. Hold on, Carly. What do you have to say to Eli?
I always think he hates me, so now it's kind of proof. Jeez.
Yeah.
No, I don't hate you. I don't know you, and I don't understand you, and that's what's making me irritable. And I'm sorry if I'm sounding like an asshole, but I'm fucking really hungry.
No, it's fine. Like, I know I have issues, but when I'm really pissed off and called Weaver or this Jason TMZ guy,
what?
I just kind of go at it and not realize.
What? What? I don't understand.
Never mind, forget it.
All right, forget it.
Right. We need not feed Eli every week. He turns into a monster, and I love it.
You can never eat ever again. Ever for a show. Oh, I had to mute Carter.
I was a train wreck. Driving today and, you know, dealing with, like, I don't know. I feel very like a walking time bomb sometimes, and it's like my filter goes off. I'm not polite anymore. I just say what's on my mind because it saves time, I feel like, and all I'm thinking about is eating, and I'm just really irritable. Sorry.
Don't be sorry. This is the greatest moment of the show ever. Ugh. All right. Sorry, Carly. I apologize on behalf of Eli. He
doesn't give a shit, yeah. Carly. Don't listen to him.
Okay. Let's move on. Eli, the Mike Tyson scenario is actually a very good question because he was convicted of rape. He did go to prison for this. And it kind of reminds me of the Kobe story, too. Like, you know, let's have no illusions about who Mike Tyson is or what he is. I mean, this kid at 15 years old would follow old women home and ask them to help with their groceries. Then when he got on the elevator, he would knock them out, old women, and take their food.
Right.
He's a criminal and a thug. And, you know, just because he became a millionaire from boxing doesn't mean he's a respectable human being in his personal life. And he had multiple physical confrontations with women his entire life. And here's a woman saying, hey, come to my hotel room. Now, Jen, you're a woman. If there was a guy that was sort of known as, famous for beating the shit out of people and was violent, especially towards women, would you invite him to your hotel room?
If you're speaking specifically of Mike Tyson, there's no way, because I would not let that guy go down on me the way he chews on ears.
And the flubber.
But other than that, no, I don't hang out with violent people. I choose not to. He seems like he'd be maybe a good lay, so maybe I could. I think he would be a good lay because of his aggressiveness, but I really would not have anything to do with Mike Tyson. He's the most disgusting person. Ever since I saw that Robin Givens interview,
yeah,
was it with Barbara Wawa? You could just tell what a scumbag he was. So it's not like she's asking for it, but it's one of those things, like, you know, what were you expecting out of Mike Tyson in your bedroom? Like, the royal treatment?
Yeah, I mean...
Right,
you know.
and that's what I felt like a lot of people during that time were... It was sort of like everyone understood that she was at fault, but they can't say that, you know, because she was raped, which she obviously was, and he did a horrible thing, disgusting, despicable thing, and should be held behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
It was never really like... As a female adult, it's like, what the hell was she thinking? Like,
right. Really,
right?
And that's what we're saying about these girls and women is you have to protect yourself. We're not saying you're a whore, you're a slut, and we're blaming you. It's preventive care. You have to not put yourself in situations where things like that could possibly happen, which is getting drunk, hanging out with only males in a vulnerable situation. Expect the worst, sadly, in this world, and you will be fine if you protect yourself. And then if it happens outside of that, then you have no responsibility and no blame. But, yeah, there's a little responsibility involved when you invite Mike Tyson to your room or when you get so drunk you can't think straight.
Yeah.
I don't know why
it reminded
so
me of one time when I picked up a hitchhiker, and I remember I deserved to get beaten up because of the situation I put myself in. Luckily, that didn't happen. But, I mean, I should take some responsibility for being dumb enough to pick up a hitchhiker, right?
Yeah, I
right,
think so.
Right, naive, too. Sometimes people are kind and naive, and it's, you know, yeah, you need a wake-up call. People need to hear that this world is dangerous. And like I tell my kids, most people, because I don't want them to live in fear, most people are good.
Right.
But there are people that do want to hurt you or want your money or, you know, so you protect yourself. They asked why I didn't pick up a hitchhiker, ironically, and I explained.
I just don't know that I can really live on this planet much longer the way things are going, to be honest with you guys. I might kill myself on the show because it's not a bad question to ask. It's not terrible of us to say, was that the best situation for her to put herself in? And is there things she could have done to prevent it? Because at the end of the day, aren't we all anti-rape? And aren't we all anti-keto or whatever? And don't we all want people not to be fucking molested and raped and beaten? Like, I think we can all agree that that's bad. So how about...
I would hope so.
I would, well, maybe not, I don't know about you, Eli, but I've, you know, personally am against it. And I would just say, I don't think it's, I don't think measures that are taken to prevent these horrible things from happening should be vilified. For instance, asking the very question, was that the best situation to put herself, were the things she could have done different, you can't even ask that nowadays without being told you're committing to rape culture or some other fucking bullshit thing. And it's bizarre because these questions we're asking on this show, if these ever got answered, if people actually, instead of getting upset at us, really thought about it, we would prevent a lot of rapes. We really would. And that should be all
really
that matters.
Parenting.
Well, good parenting, yeah, but that's what we talk about on the show. Everything. If people fucking did everything we said on the show, the world would be better. Take responsibility and parent your kids properly. These things won't happen as much. I mean, there's always going to be exceptions to it, but it's just, I still can't wrap my head around the fact that anyone would have any issue with saying, was that the best situation to put yourself in? All right, I don't have anything else to say. Eli, I would love you to just talk to Carly for a minute before we wrap up the show, if you don't mind. She's still on the phone.
Carly, I'd like to apologize to you. I'm not in a good mood, and I took it out on you for no reason, and I sort of just kind of, I don't know, had a nervous response to whatever you guys were talking about. So I deeply apologize. I don't know you. You seem like a sweetheart. You've always been nice to me, liking my Vine videos and stuff. So I apologize, and I hope you accept it, and we can move on from this.
Way to take responsibility.
Well,
Zoe
loved you even more now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, everyone's going to love Eli now.
Make him a Vine tonight. Twerking, baby. Twerk for Eli. Everyone make a twerk for Eli video. He's been asking on Vine for twerk videos.
Actually, I want to see Eli Vine hit hour by hour in this fasting process.
It's not bad, Eli. Don't worry about it.
All right. Thank you, Carly. She forgives
you,
Eli.
Wait, what? What did she say, Jay?
No, don't let him
Carly,
talk anymore to Carly. Don't
say
let him talk to her.
Well, I did want to say one more thing real quick. So,
yeah.
Can we do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
You want to do it with Eli? Carly,
no.
He's a married man.
Oh, my God.
You don't
no, what I wanted to say
room.
Was Jason is a Team Blue guy and an asshole. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, well, we love you. She's more mad at TMZ and Dan Webweaver than you, Eli. I think she's a sweetheart, too, so I'm glad you...
I'm glad she cleared that up and contributed so much to your radio show, Jake.
Oh, man. Eli, really, can we put it in a contract or something that you don't eat before shows?
I've been telling people how fucking awesome Eli is for years. You have no idea the stuff.
He can't filter when he's hungry. I mean...
Can I just say how stupid, I'm just going to piss you off now, then we'll wrap up the show, but how stupid Judaism is that you have to fucking go through this, like, fucking fast? It's stupid. Why are you doing
that? No. Well, it sort of reminds me, as weird as it sounds and how miserable I am right now, it's a way for me to, like, reflect how thankful I am for a lot of things I have, honestly. And it also means that just through, you know, when you get used to something from, like, the age of one, you don't really question it as much. Now that I'm getting older, I'm questioning a lot more. But, you know, you go to temple, like, once or twice a year. You say something in another language. I'm referring to Hebrew for all those people who don't know what I'm talking about. And you don't understand the words behind it. But you just go there, I guess, to kind of, like, you know, let things sink in for whatever it is. It's sort of like a meditation, but around a lot of other people with skull caps. So I just, you know, I take it for what it's worth, and it's really for, like, you know, because, you know, I respect my dad so much, and, you know, he stays there the whole day, and, you know, I don't know I think he personally likes to torture himself, but that's just me. For me, I just kind of, like, enjoy the time that I spend with them, whether I know what you know, what's going on or not. But the fact of the matter is it's a text, the Torah, has been around for 2,000 years. There's a reason why.
3,000, 4,000.
Something more. There's a reason why, and it's always fascinated me, to be honest, even though I don't know a lot about it, where I could, like, regurgitate all the information and explain to you what it means to be Jewish. All I know is that, you know, something really bad happened, you know, in the 1940s, and I'm trying to, like, you know, I guess help preserve it, I guess.
Well, I do respect anyone that does put their mouth where their heart is, and I would not fast. I wouldn't make fucking 2 hours, so I do have respect for you. But, you know, maybe you should just go take a nap.
Jake, did you tell your listeners you were bar mitzvahed?
I did. Someone posted the picture.
And circumcised.
And circumcised, yeah.
I posted that picture.
No, what does Judaism mean? What does Judaism mean to you then?
I don't really want to answer that because you're in the midst of a fast, and I don't want to be cruel, but I respect tradition. I respect the connection you feel that you have to your father and your grandparents, and I respect this about a lot of people that, because I think that's what religion really is more for people than. If you ever talk to a Jew or a Christian, if you start talking to them, most of them will eventually get to the point where they're like, yeah, it's all bullshit. I don't really believe any of it, but they can't really explain it. And I think, and the thing I do like about religion is that it does sort of connect us to our ancestors. There is a tradition there that I do value and I think is amazing. And I love tradition. When I got married, I broke the glass for my Jewish family, and my wife lit the candles for her Catholic family. And we did that sort of as an homage to our ancestors. But if you're asking me, would I not eat for 24 hours because I'm not supposed to? Fuck no. In fact, I'm
right.
Going to go have a pork sandwich today, right after this, honestly.
You should.
I do. I eat pork on Yom Kippur on purpose.
I'm going to have spam and rice. I can't fucking wait.
But
oh,
it's stupid.
Great,
I'm sorry. It's stupid. It's just stupid. It's just so fucking stupid, you know, because you can
it's
fast
to
without a religion.
People, it's so they can hallucinate, I think, is why.
No, he makes a good point. When you say it makes you appreciate, that's true. Like, you go camping for 48 hours, you're like, God, I miss washing my ass with toilet paper. I'm like, it's cool. I get it. But it doesn't take away from the fact that it's really intensely stupid. Because you can fast any time of the week. If you want to appreciate food more, and you see now that 24 hours of not eating really makes you sort of change things, and you go through all these emotions and you appreciate it, do that on a Tuesday. I mean, it's a cool thing. It has nothing to do with God or the Jewish fucking culture. It's just retarded. Sorry. I can go off for hours. I'm going to have
you talk. Were you raised Jewish or just calling it Jewish?
Oh, bullshit. Like, you know why I had a fucking bar mitzvah? I had a bar mitzvah at 14. You know why I had it at 14 and not 13? Because when I was 13, my mom saw a TV show where someone was getting bar mitzvah and goes, I want you to do that. So I had 1 year to learn all about Judaism. I had to learn Hebrew phonetically, okay? So when I went up there and was like, Baruch Ata, with my voice cracking, I didn't know what the fucking words meant. I was literally at flashcards where they sounded out. I read the words in English, Baruch Ata. With the A and the T and the A. That is just such an empty, fucking, stupid ceremony to go through. I'm up there praying something that I don't even understand just so I can get, told by fucking some rabbi that I know I'm talking about. How could any Jew, rabbi or cantor or whoever was behind that synagogue, how could they take that seriously? What they should have said is, it's too late for you to get bar mitzvah. You can get bar mitzvah whenever you're ready, but you have to learn the text here. You have to be able to read it. They were like, yeah, sure, you know what? We'll give you one. If you rent the synagogue out for $45,000, sure. You just have to say it phonetically. And it's just bullshit. It's all bullshit. I'm very angry about it, I just realized.
Apparently.
My friend's hurting. I can hear Eli, and it makes me mad. You should go fucking eat a pork sandwich.
Hurting about
what?
Well,
my dad's family's all Jewish, too, and I stopped it. I stopped the Jew.
It's just stupid.
Well,
I'm sorry. I apologize to my Jewish and Catholic friends. I mean, if you want to worship and believe something that's just retarded, that's your choice. I love you for it anyway.
It doesn't mean Eli's retarded. You don't like your friend hurting over religion is what it is.
Yeah, I don't. Eli, if you were over here right now, I'd cook you a nice ribeye, and we would get fucking so bloated on it.
He would eat it in front of you because he's such a good and horrible friend. He would just, like, cook it and just eat it and that, just to make you cry. And that would be divine to watch.
I am. I'm going to send you pictures of my lunch right now, Eli.
You should.
Look, Skype. You can watch me cook.
You could add more food items than have to do stop motion.
How many more hours you got to go, dude?
6:30.
Let's send him food pictures until then, Jake.
No, I'm just going to... I think you should just go take a nap, dude. Just go sleep these last 4 hours.
You're so sweet.
Oh,
yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Hey,
right,
I have a quick question. I have a question for Eli. When you're fasting, are you allowed to eat your wife?
Eat her like a food item or...
No, like liquor.
Go down
vagina.
On her like...
Like
vagina?
Go down on her. Like,
no,
does
no
that count?
Hoofed animal.
I don't know if that's considered to be nutritious, so I guess so.
Okay. All right.
Can you eat your own semen?
I think there's some nutrition in semen.
Yeah, there is.
If I'm not
that's
mistaken.
What I tell the women.
So, So in a way, it's sort of like food, right?
Yeah. And we found a loophole.
Protein.
Yeah, you know
what?
We get it,
think?
Eli. There's the vine we all want to see. Go jerk off in your own mouth, and you'll feel better. All right, enough of this show. What happened? We were talking. Well, how did we get here, jerking off in mouths for Yom Kippur?
It's my fault. I'm sorry.
Well, I love you, and I'm sorry that you're hurting, and that's just retarded, but whatever. I'm also impressed, equally impressed.
Well, thanks.
All right, let's end this shit show because I'm hungry. Thank you, everyone, for calling. Thank you, Romy. Carly,
thank
I'm so sorry
you,
about
thank
Eli.
Thank you for your hunger, Eli. You were awesome.
Yeah, you know what? This was the best Eli episode by far. I mean, there's no other option.
Definitely.
Well, I appreciate that. That really helps my ego.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Let's end this. I'll see you all. What are we doing next week, Jen?
Isn't that your guest? The one, I won't acknowledge it because it's from Buffy.
Oh, is that next week?
Yeah, that's next week, according to you.
All right. Well, if that happens, I'll tell you guys. I will be, this is no joke. This is inside. Nobody's listening. I will be masturbating for a portion of that interview.
Tell them who it is.
It's Emma Caulfield from Buffy. You can look her up. She's gotten a little older now, but I'd still do her. But I had a huge crush. But I think it would be kind of fun for me to masturbate on air, don't you?
Well, I think it would be fun for you, exactly.
Okay. Well, I am going to do it. I'm not joking.
That's so gross.
She's hot.
Is there going to be like a safe button so we know, so we can kind of not focus?
Yeah, we'll talk it over. Because even if it's just one stroke or two strokes, I just need to do it. It's a life dream to jerk off on the phone with Emma Caulfield. All right,
yeah,
thank
you know what? I would too for Ricky Schroeder, Kurt Russell. So.
Yeah, when you hear that, Jen, you'll know.
Okay, that's our code that you were
doing.
That's
our code.
It's way to be really subtle. How about cricket?
I think it's
what
just
I was great. Thinking.
She won't know it. All right, well, thank you, everybody. I thought that was a great show. There you go. There's your closure.
Right.
I don't want to play a song in here. I don't fucking close the show, but I'm fucking maniacs in this cult. All right. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Have a
thank
good
you,
one,
Carly.
Guys.